welcome to another broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen. Please stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast to learn how God can use you to impact the lives of people around the world. And now, here's today's message.
Amen. Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Oh, that was great. I'm happy to see you, too. Summertime's here, and it's good to see you guys here. I know a lot of our folks are starting to travel this time of year, but so glad that you're here, and it's good to be back with you this morning. I just want you to know I love you, and I really consider it an honor to be a part of this church and minister alongside every one of you. I really do. I'm excited to be back this morning to begin the last half of our series on a study through the Gospel of John. We've entitled this series, What Difference Does Jesus Make? And that's what this whole book of John is all about. It wasn't written for a historical account. It was written for one reason that you'll find in, well, it's been a couple weeks, so I won't ask you what verse, but we've gone over it a lot. John 20, 31. John said, I've written these things that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. And this whole gospel was written because Jesus does make a difference in life. And I hope that this morning you can say that He's made a difference in your life. And if He hasn't, then it's my hope today that before you leave this place, you'll be able to say that He has made a difference. I want to talk to you this morning for a few minutes on a message that I've entitled, Finding Hope in a Hopeless Situation. If you have your Bibles, open them please to John chapter 11, starting in verse 1. John 11, verse 1. A familiar story, but I hope that today perhaps you'll see one or two things that you've never seen before or thought about before in this story that I'm sure many of us have heard since we were Sunday school kids. John chapter 11, verse 1, it says this, Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And then John sort of adds parenthetically, This Mary, whose brother Jesus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped His feet with her hair. Remember that story? That was this Mary. Verse 3, So the sisters, now Lazarus is sick, so the sisters sent word to Jesus saying, Lord, the one you love is sick. When Jesus heard this, He said, This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, yet, that's one of those very important transitions in the Word of God. Yet, even though He loved them, when He heard that Lazarus was sick, He stayed where He was 2 more days. Now, for time's sake, jump to verse 17. Now, Jesus has now waited 2 days. He's made the trip, and verse 17 says, On His arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. I know we just prayed, but pause with me if you would for a moment. I want to just commit this time to the Lord again. Father, I know that coming in here this morning on the rush of a Sunday morning, there are an untold number of concerns and burdens that people have brought in here with them today, myself included. And Father, I know that I do not have any words in and of myself to help anyone. In fact, the truth is, if I were to depend on myself, I would end up messing up things. But Lord, you have the words that can change life. And I pray this morning that through your word, that every person here today would be met where they are, that they would find hope and encouragement, perhaps in the middle of a situation that seems hopeless. I pray that you would speak your truth to our hearts this morning in a way that only you can do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In this account in John 11, Mary and Martha were facing a desperate situation. Their brother was sick and obviously right at death's door. And they sent word to Jesus begging for help. But instead of that verse saying, when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, remember it said he loved Lazarus, yet when he heard that Jesus was sick, I would have thought the text would say he dropped everything and he raced to Lazarus' side to help him. Isn't that the kind of Savior we want? Can we just be honest this morning? We pray a prayer and we say, Lord, I need help when? Next Thursday? No, I need help now. Get me out of this now. Come to my rescue now. Yet the Bible says that when Jesus heard that this person he loved was sick, he stayed where he was 2 days. Why 2 days? Have you ever thought about that? I've told you before, there's nothing in the Bible that's there just to fill up a hole. Everything is there for a purpose. Why 2 days? Why didn't he wait 1 day? Why didn't he wait 3 weeks? Well, if you've never heard this before, I want to share this with you today, and I hope it'll shed new light on this story of Lazarus, and you'll remember this the rest of your life. We need to understand that, as I've told you before, Jesus went to great lengths to meet people where they were, to use illustrations and to connect with them in ways that made sense with them. We need to understand that in this culture where this story took place, the Jews believed, now listen very carefully to this, the Jews believed that when a person died, their soul hovered around their body for 3 days. Now, this is not biblical. This is just what they believed. And Jesus is going out of his way to meet these people where they are, in their way of thinking. They believed that when a person died, their soul hovered around their body for 3 days. And as a matter of fact, they used to have, quite often, what they called a death watch, where they would send people, family members usually, to the graveside, to the tomb, and they would stay there for 3 days and watch over the body. Just in case the soul happened to return to the body, they would be there. Are you with me? As a matter of fact, they would often cut little slits into the tomb so that from the outside, even though it was sealed with the stone, from the outside they could peer in every once in a while. And the ones out there would be going, any movement yet? Any sign? Is anything going on? It's been 2.5 days. The clock is ticking. No, no sign. And they truly believed that there were 3 days of hope. But listen to this. They believed that on the fourth day, the soul left the body forever, never to return. and that on the fourth day, all hope was gone. And they believed that if anybody could bring someone back from the dead after the 3 days of hope, that he must be the Messiah. Are you tracking with me? This is important. Jesus didn't just go around doing random things. There was a purpose in everything that he did. And when Jesus got there, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. And so now when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he wasn't just raising someone from the dead. He had chosen this moment to reveal his glory. The Bible tells us that in verse 4. So that those who witnessed this and who heard about this would believe and know without a doubt that he was the Messiah. Trouble is, the Pharisees, remember we talked about those guys a few weeks ago, who hated Jesus. The Pharisees didn't want Jesus to be their Messiah. He was not what they were looking for. And when the Bible tells us, in this same chapter, down towards the end, I believe around verse 45, something like that, that when they heard that Jesus had raised someone from the dead, after the 3 days of hope had come and gone, and he had raised someone from the dead on the fourth day, you know what they did? They plotted to kill him. And it gets even better than that. When you get over into the next chapter, into John chapter 12, after Lazarus has been raised from the dead, guess what the Pharisees are trying to do now? Now they're plotting to kill Lazarus. Poor guy. I mean, think about this. He dies, Jesus raises him from the dead. One chapter later, they're trying to kill him again because they want to get rid of the evidence. And so it's important to understand why Jesus did not go immediately to help his friend Lazarus. As a matter of fact, Jesus had done this, and he could have done it here. He could have simply spoken the word, and Lazarus could have been healed right from where he was. And yet, specifically, the Bible says he waited 2 days, and then he made the trip back, and when he got there, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. There was a reason, there was a purpose for his waiting. He waited until all hope was gone before he showed up. It's important. I want to share this important truth with you. You can trust God even in the times when he delays. For someone here this morning, you need to hear that. You can trust God even in the times when he delays, even in the times when it looks like he's not going to show up at all. You can trust him because he has a higher purpose. I wonder how many times during those 4 days Mary and Martha got up and looked up that dusty road, waiting for Jesus to come. Where is he? Why hasn't he come? We're good friends with him. He loves us. And now he's abandoned us in our time of need. I wonder the sadness and the frustration that were brewing there in that home. How often do we lift up our prayers to God? How often do we call out to him in desperation and tell him that we need help, and we wait day after day after day, and it seems like he's never going to show up? What do we do when we put all our hope in him and he seems not to care? You know, the truth is, I look at my life, and too often I want everything right now. I want stuff to be fixed now. I want it to be taken care of. But sometimes God's delays bring about glory that would never come if he had answered immediately. We have to learn, church, we have to learn to look beyond our circumstances and lift up our eyes and look past the pain and look past the moment for the higher purpose that God wants to achieve. Verse 4 says it very clearly. Look at that. It says, when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, verse 4 says, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Does that sound familiar from a chapter we looked at just recently, John chapter 9? The man who was born blind, and the disciples said, Lord, who sinned, this man or his parents, that caused him to be born blind? And Jesus said, neither of them sinned. This happened so that the works of God would be made manifest, so that God would be glorified. And here we hear it again in verse 4 of chapter 11. Jesus chose to delay his visit to Lazarus and to the family for one reason. Not because he didn't care, not because he forgot, not because he was too busy, for one reason: so that God would be glorified through it. We need to know, church, that God always has a higher purpose than what we can see in the moment. How many of you in your life who've got some miles on your odometer look back over time and you can see some points along the way where, if you're honest enough about it, you were really disappointed with God in that moment, weren't you? And yet you look back now and you go, Lord, thank you. Thank you for handling that situation the way that you did, because it turned out for your glory. May I remind you of a verse that I tell you again and again and again in Colossians that says we were not only created by Him, but we were created for Him. Your life is not your own, Life Point Church. I know that's hard to hear because we label all our stuff with our name. It's all our stuff. It's all about us. This is my computer. This is my calculator. This is my car. This, whatever. This is my stuff. It's my life. And I hate to be the one to keep reminding us, but it's not our life. We're here for His glory. We're here for His purpose. Unless you think it's easy for me to stand up here and just say those words, it's not. I struggle with that. I struggle with, at times, looking past the pain of the moment and seeing beyond it to see His glory. But that's why we're here. There was a lady who had received news from her doctor that she was dying and she had very little time. And as the time for her death began to draw closer and closer, she gathered her family together and she began to talk to them and explain to them, especially to the youngest little girl. She began to say, honey, now listen, mommy is soon going to be going to heaven to be with Jesus, and you'll meet me there one day. And she did her best to explain all the beauties and the wonder and the splendor of heaven to her little girl to try to help ease her fears and her pain. And the mother did die. And at the funeral, this little girl walked up at the graveside service and looked in that big dark hole in the ground for a long time. And then she looked up to her dad and she said, Daddy, is that heaven? You see, she was too young to understand. She couldn't see past the grave. She couldn't see past the pain and the moment to know that there was more. And so often in life, we struggle to see past the problems, to see God's eternal purpose. And we see this coming out with Martha in verse 21. Jesus had delayed much longer than they expected Him to and they wanted Him to. And when He finally did arrive, look at verse 21. The Bible tells us in the preceding verses that Martha heard news that Jesus was coming and she ran out to meet him before he even got to their town. She ran all the way to another town to meet him, and she met him. And look at what she says in verse 21. What'd she say? Oh, Jesus, I'm so glad you're here. Thanks for coming. Look at this, verse 21. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You know what Martha was saying? She was saying, where were you? That's exactly what she was saying. Where were you? If you had been here, he wouldn't have died. You ever said that to Jesus? I have. Maybe in your life you look back over and you see moments where you wish Jesus had been there when you had wanted him to be there. I've met people who've gone through some unspeakable things in their life. They ask the question, Lord, where were you? Where were you when I was a child and my father was abusing me? Where were you? Where were you when my parents got divorced? Where were you when our baby died? Where were you when my spouse walked out and left me? Where were you? Where were you when my business failed? Where were you when I got the medical report of cancer? Where were you? And Martha blurts out her pain to Jesus. If only you had been here, he wouldn't have died. Where were you? And her frustration and her grief have been building up now all this time since they sent that message of hope to Jesus, knowing in their heart they were going to get a reply when they wanted it, and they didn't. And she's now frustrated and broken, and she lets it all out when she sees Jesus. Hey, have you ever done that? Have you ever lost one of your kids in the mall for a few minutes? You don't have to admit it because, you know, it'd make you look like a bad parent. But I lost my daughter one time in Haywood Mall when she was about 3 years old. We were standing at the entrance to, there used to be a toy store downstairs, KB Toys or something down there. Caroline was about three, and we were standing there just at the entrance looking. And I heard somebody say, hey, Phil, is that you? And I turned around, and there was somebody I hadn't seen in years. And I just started a conversation with him, and it seemed to me that it was only about a minute. And I turned around, and Caroline was gone. I still remember she had on a little red corduroy overalls. And that panic, that feeling of panic that just sets in. I mean, unless you're a parent, I just can't describe it to you. It's unbelievable. I began scanning and searching everywhere, and I just stopped the conversation. I said, my daughter's missing. She's got red overalls on. Help me find her. And I was looking all out into the hallways of the mall, and then I went running through the toy store, up and down every aisle, calling her name like a maniac. And I rounded one aisle in that store, and there she sat, just joyfully playing with a little toy, as happy as she could be. And what did I do? I said, Caroline, where were you? You scared me to death. I saw a mom in the mall one time I thought was going to kill her child that she just found. I mean, literally, I was standing there ready to intervene. The security guard brought her child up to her, and she just let the child have it, you know, loving it, hugging it, and crying, but about to beat the thing to death at the same time. You scared me to death. Where were you? Don't ever do that again, right? It's this mixture of relief and joy and anger and panic all mixed into one. And no doubt that's what Martha was feeling in this moment. She had been waiting and waiting, hoping and hoping, and hope had died now. The 3 days of hope had come and gone. The Bible tells us specifically so that we will know that Lazarus had now been dead and in the tomb for 4 days. The dreaded 4 days. It was over. And she sees Jesus and she just unloads her emotions on him. Where were you? If you had been here, he wouldn't have died. And we see later in this text that when Mary sees Jesus, she says exactly the same thing to him. No doubt they had had that conversation for days now between each other, sitting in the house. If only he had been here. If only he had been here. Lazarus wouldn't have died. I want to close by showing you what Jesus does here. Verse 23. Jesus turns her attention off her pain and gets her focus on him, which is where it needs to be. Verse 23, Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her these epic words, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, he will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And that's really the question, isn't it, church? That's really the question. Jesus stands before us in our moments of hopelessness on that fourth day when we've given up, and he says, "Do you believe in me?" No, Martha, I don't want you looking at the situation. Look at me, Martha. I could just almost picture him, Martha. He didn't even answer her question directly. Martha, up here, look at me. I am the resurrection. Can you see that moment? Martha, don't look at this. Look at me. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will never die. And then he says, "Do you believe this?" And he asks every one of us that same question in our moments of struggle and hopelessness. Do you trust me in this? Do you believe me in this, regardless of how it looks? Maybe today you find yourself in the place of these two sisters. You believe in Jesus, you're a follower of Jesus, but just as they sat there day after day and watched their brother die, you're watching all hope die right in front of you in some situation today. And you say, "Phil, there's a situation in my life that is about to kill me. I've tried everything I can think of to fix it, and it just seems to be getting worse. And I've almost given up hope, and I don't know where else to turn." I've talked with a couple of you the last few weeks, and I know that you're there. Maybe you're feeling that way over someone you love, just like these sisters were. Lord, what are you doing? When are you going to show up? When are you going to answer this prayer? Maybe you're feeling this way when you look at your own life, the choices you've made, the things that you've done, and you say, "Phil, I'm too far gone. I've sinned too much. I've run too far. I've passed the 3 days of hope. I'm too far gone for God to help me." I want to say to you this morning, no matter how dead you are, Jesus has life for you. No matter how dead you are, we see in the scriptures this amazing progression of Jesus raising people from the dead at these incredibly remarkable different stages. Jairus' daughter, Jesus raised her from the dead moments after she had died. She'd just been dead a little while. And then we see the widow of Nain. Her son had died, and they were on the way to bury him. They were in the middle of the funeral procession, and Jesus stopped the funeral procession and raised him from the dead right there. He had been dead a little bit longer. And then we see Lazarus. He was long gone. Past the point of hope. 4 days, man, that was it. They packed up their folding chairs at the graveside and they went home. It was over. And Jesus stepped into that moment and said, "Listen, it's never over. There's always hope when I'm involved. And Jesus raised him from the dead after the point of hope. And the lesson is this: wherever you've been, whatever you've done, regardless of how dead you feel, you need to know that Jesus brings life to you this morning. There may be someone here today who's never come to a place in your life where you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. I've met people who've said to me flat out, "Phil, I'm too bad a person to ever make it to heaven." And my reply is, "You're right on. You are too bad a person, and so am I." You see, we're the only ones who categorize sins. We're the only ones who put labels and values on sins. Well, that sin, that's a really bad sin. But my sin of pride, well, that's not so bad. Really? You see, and sometimes we beat ourselves up because we say, "Well, Phil," people say, "Phil, if you only knew what I had done in my life." I go, "It doesn't matter. You can tell me anything. It doesn't matter, because to God, sin is sin." If you're here this morning, or if you're listening online, and you're saying, I'm too far gone for God, I've done too many bad things," you need to know it doesn't matter how dead you are. Jesus stands this morning and he offers life to you if you will just call on him. These sisters cried out to Jesus because he was their only source of hope at that point. Doctors could do nothing more. Jesus was the only one they could turn to. And although Jesus delayed, they found that his delay brought about a far greater glory than they could ever have imagined. And I just wonder this morning if maybe there's a situation in your life that to you looks hopeless. And you just don't know where else to turn. And God seems to be delaying, and you don't know what to do. You're starting to lose faith, maybe. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your financial situation. Maybe it's a relationship issue with you and your spouse or a child. Maybe it's not even for you. As I said a minute ago, maybe it's for someone that you love and care about. And you're just watching this and you just don't know what else to say and you don't know what else to do. I want to encourage you this morning to begin, and again, I don't say this flippantly. I know this is easier said than done, but I challenge you today to begin to look past the pain. Lift up your eyes and look on him as Martha did. Trust him, knowing that however long he delays, he knows what he is doing. He knows what is best. Let's pray. Father, I pray for our folks here at LifePoint, and for those who faithfully listen online around the country and in different parts of the world. Lord, I know without a doubt there are a lot of different situations that people find themselves in as they listen to these words this morning. I just pray, Father, you would help us remember, just remind us that we can trust you, even when it doesn't make sense, even when it seems that you're being cruel and unkind and uncaring by delaying. Lord, you know what you're doing. And I pray this week for someone that this would be a turning point for them, that they would be able to, perhaps for the first time, look past the situation, look past the pain, the frustration, the hopelessness, and be able to look to you and know that you know what you're doing, and find hope in that, and be able to continue walking with you in faith, in trust, knowing that they can truly trust you with everything. I thank you for your word that we have, Father, that speaks to us in the moments of our greatest need. I pray that we would turn our eyes to you and look to you in this coming week. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If today's message has been an encouragement to you, would you consider partnering with this ministry to help reach more people with the life-changing message of Jesus Christ? Your prayers and financial gift would be a direct investment in changing lives for eternity by allowing us to continue spreading the gospel to people around the world. If God enables you to give, just visit our website at lifepointsc.org. and click the online giving button. If you prefer to contact us by mail, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Thanks again for listening and for your investment in the mission of Christ. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him.